We're going to look at Psalm number 12 this morning. Psalm number 12. Hear God's word. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. May God be pleased to bless in the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that on this good morning you have been pleased to bring us together, and we ask now that as we look into this portion of your word, that you'll give us grace and help and understanding, and that we might live properly in accordance with the teaching of this section of your good word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. We're going to be looking at portions of the Psalter this quarter as men preach. And so in keeping with my practice of doing what I ask others to do, we're looking at Psalm 12 this morning. 2 years ago this month in Texas, two young ladies in the Saeed family were brutally murdered by their father. They were found in his taxicab with several, many, I should say, gunshot wounds. The father, as far as I know, has not been found or apprehended. But the investigation has shown that the murders were what are known as honor killings. That is, in this Muslim family, these two daughters dishonored the family by probably, according to the household rules and the religious rules, been involved with young men outside the faith. And so they were brutally murdered. How are we to react to such things? Are we to pray, Lord, cut off the wicked? We are slow to pray this way, it seems to me. We are slow to utter such words and imprecations. But the psalm which is before us guides us in this very direction. And as we've sung it and as we've read it, you've noted the words, cut off the wicked. And these words are embedded between the idea of the words of the wicked and the true words of God, and associated with the promises of God in our text. And taking all these things into consideration, I think you should understand the fact that when you really understand God's word and you know his promises, you should, without hesitation, say to him, Lord, cut off the wicked. Let's see how this is worked out in our passage. Verses 1 and 8 form bookmarks, or bookends, I should say, around the psalm. Verse 8 says, the wicked strut about on every side when vileness or worthlessness is exalted among the sons of men. And then verse 1 cries out, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. And you know this is the case, that when the wicked strut about and prowl about, that the godly fade away. And this is what the psalmist is saying. When the gangs prowl the streets and strut about and say to themselves, who is Lord over us? And they boast in their own prowess and strength. And they intimidate others. And they gladly intimidate others. The bullies in schools, etc. What happens? As verse 1 says, the godly cease to be. They fade away. The faithful disappear from among the sons of men when wickedness is on the ascent. And so it is. The sons of men in verse 1 refers to this fallen humanity and the sons of Adam. And out of this fallen humanity, God is pleased to call out a people for himself. But when the wicked boast, their words are empty. Look at verse 4. Who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And then verse 2. They speak falsehood or emptiness to one another with flattering lip and with a double heart they speak. Just recently, the Ninth Circuit Court in California stated that a cross, you're probably familiar with this, a cross in a national park set up as a veterans memorial is unconstitutional. Very interesting. A repudiation of the cross of Christ. Who is Lord over us? We'll not accept him. Isn't that, in a sense, what the court has said? And that such a display in public, maybe in private it's okay, but such a display in public is unconstitutional. And interestingly enough, the same people who approve of this decision of the Ninth Circuit Court are laughing with scorn and mocking the idea that the Constitution of the United States should be read on the floor of the House of Representatives. The same people who are leaning on the Constitution and saying the display of this cross is, quote, unconstitutional, are mocking the idea of the reading of the Constitution in the halls of our own government. Look at verse 2 again. They speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with double heart they speak. The double heart, you see. It's plain as the nose on your face. Maybe on your face and my face, but not on the faces of some others. At the same time as the wicked boast, the psalm tells us clearly that God's word is true and sure. Drop down to verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined 7 times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The words of the Lord are pure. And if God's words are pure, they are true. True words. They are not cluttered with any falsehood. You and I may depend upon these words. As silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined 7 times. The word 7, of course, is a reference to perfection. And the silver with no dross, pure. And so it is that the Word of God is pure and true. And notice how the psalmist puts it. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth. The Word of God coming from heaven, from His throne, is pure, and it comes to us in the world, in the earth, and we may depend upon it as silver purified 7 times. And verse 7, you, Lord, will keep them. You will keep your word, and you will keep those who trust your word. How good this is, that God's word is the word that's true. I'm very interested in this fact that there are those who are mocking and scorning the reading of the Constitution in the House chamber. It would be like individuals coming along and saying, well, why would you want to read the Bible in church? Why would you want to read the Word of God in church? And there have been those, have there not, who have said of us, of people like us, who treasure the Word of God, that we're treating the Word of God like a fetish. We're treating the Scriptures like an idol. No, that's certainly not the case. We treat the Word of God with reverence because of the one who stands behind that word and the one who has spoken this good word. And we know that he is faithful. And this brings us to the very center of the psalm. Verse 5 is the hinge around which the psalm revolves. Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. Of course, this is David praying. It's a psalm of David. And we can picture David in the historical context, fleeing from Saul. You remember the occasions where David attempted with a gracious heart to quell Saul's troubled heart by playing the harp. And in return, what did Saul do? He takes a javelin and thrusts it against the wall, attempting to impale David against the wall. And so David flees. On another occasion, David fled to the tabernacle at Nob. And there he gained sustenance. He received bread from the priests. And while he was there was an Edomite, Doeg, a servant of Saul, a snitch, who goes back and tells Saul what had transpired and where David had been. And so what does Saul do? Saul sends out his troops and slays the priests of God. Here is the enemy of God, the wicked one from whom David is fleeing. And of course, then there was Absalom, David's own son, who spirited Jerusalem away from David so that he could assume the throne. And David had to flee from his own son, whom Scripture tells us he loved deeply. And yet he was a wicked one. Verse 5 again. Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs. And surely David longed for that safety. And isn't the circumstance somewhat similar in our world today? We don't suffer like David did. But certainly there are those who have been pushed and prodded and, yes, murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so what should the response be? How should you react and how should I react? Well, go up to verse 3. We haven't really talked about verse 3. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things. The words cut off have covenant implications. Those in Israel who were disobedient to the word of God were cut off from the people. To put it in New Testament terms, they were excommunicated. And without repentance, they are cut off eternally. What is to take place, friends? Men and women will either bow the knee to Jesus Christ, or they will be cut off eternally. Those are the alternatives. There is no middle ground. And when the wicked refuse to repent, the prayer is proper. Verse 3, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips. This is not a desire to be vengeful. This is not a desire to have personal vengeance. This is a prayer for God to fulfill His own posture when He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And so it's perfectly appropriate for you to follow the word of God and to pray, "Lord, cut off the wicked." On September 11, 2001, two hijacked planes were flown into the Twin Towers in New York City, and 3,000 perished. Who were the perpetrators? Muslims committed to the false religion of Islam. A year ago, a man got on a plane with a bomb in his underwear, landing in Detroit with the plan of destroying that aircraft and the people who were on it. Who was this man? He was a man committed to the false religion of Islam. A few days ago, a governor in Pakistan, in the largest province of Pakistan, was shot and killed by his own bodyguard. That's a great bodyguard, isn't it? Why? For defending a Christian woman. That's why. I pray, Lord, destroy the false religion of Islam and the wickedness of this false religion. This is where the psalm portion this morning leads you and me. It is the Word of God. And when you understand God's commitments, you too will pray, Lord, destroy wickedness. Let's pray together now. Father in heaven, we thank you. Although these are the strong words that come from your word, we recognize that they are words that do come from you. And so we pray that we might stand with you and pray that you will discharge the works of justice and vengeance you promise in this world. And we pray specifically this morning that you will, by your goodness and grace, preserve your church in this world. And by your hand of judgment and, yes, vengeance, destroy the wickedness of the onslaught of Islam in this world. Hear us in this prayer, because we bring it to you not in and of ourselves, but in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, to whose glory you, our Father, we know, to whose glory you are committed. Hear us in his great name, we pray. Amen.